you remember when Simon Peter had rejected Christ? Do you remember that crash and burn moment? When he, Peter, was able to look into the eyes of love before Jesus' crucifixion and reject it. Wow. I can't be accusatory to Peter because I dare say that probably knowing myself like I do, if I would have been in Peter's spot, I would have probably done the same thing. And I would have justified myself because I didn't really understand. But after the death and resurrection of Christ, he went back to his son, Peter, and tried to restore him. Remember that scene? The problem was Peter was still working through things. He was still trying to figure out what this whole thing looked like. And it was going to take him time to really absorb what was going on. But see, when I said to you the dilemma we have in the English language is we use one term, love, for a variety of experiences. That's why we have such a hard time embracing the love of God, because we use the same word. I love God and I love pizza, or I love cars, or it is the same English word. And that's why we have such a dilemma, because there's no variation between how we experience those two things. So out of one side of my face, I'm telling people I love pizza. Out of the other side of my face, I'm telling them I love God. And what is it that they see that motivates anything different? So Peter, here he is in this moment. And let me use the Greek words in this interaction. Jesus said, Simon, do you agape me more than these? Peter, yes, Lord, you know that I love. Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Jesus, Simon, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. And then Jesus says, Peter, do you phileo me? And exasperated, grieved, Peter says, Lord, you know all things, but you know that I phileo you. So the Lord is putting that out there. He's putting this experience, he's putting this identity of the Father before Peter, and he couldn't quite absorb it yet. And so the Lord stepped back down and said, are we okay? Yes, Lord, we're okay. And that was that interaction that happened. And I guess if I'm to give this message in almost a prophetic form, I am telling you that I think that is where the church is today. And what's even more tragic in some respects is we have been okay with the fact that we are in love with God in a phileo love. What's even more tragic is, I'm going to bring the other word in, yes, even in the church, eros is part of that experience as well. You see, I know it's hard for us to grasp that. For us to compare erotic kind of love, perverted kind of love in an erotic sense, to the church experience. How many of you are familiar with the story of Hosea? God told Hosea to marry a prostitute. Did you know that in that time in Israel, that in the temple areas, they had temple prostitutes? True true story. That in the crumbling of a spiritual culture, this erotic kind of love actually made itself in the church. I know it's hard for us to absorb that right now, but so I just wanted to throw that in there and let you know that the church needs to be so aware of where we are before the Lord. But even a greater danger is finding that place. A phileo kind of love is a beautiful love. It can be. I mean, it's relational, and we all experience it. We experience, I believe, when a young couple comes together, that is the first thing that they begin to feel, is that level of love towards one another. The tragedy in marriage and relationship is when it never leaves that. And it never has the opportunity to experience an agape kind of experience. And let that be a challenge, or in some cases, maybe a rebuke to some of you who have been married for a while, that you have not let God do that kind of a deep work inside of you. But aside from that story, I want to take you back simply to what I'm telling you I believe that God is trying to do inside of us. He's trying to change us from the inside out, but it has to do with the essence of who He is as our God and Savior. So this Greek word, agape, it is the love of God, but it's not solely based on an attitude or an action. You hear me say it all the time. You've heard it all the time. Agape love is who God is. It's not necessarily what He does. And He does what He is. I'm not trying to confuse you, but I'm trying to help you to understand that it is God, the essence of agape love is not motivated by what God feels. How many of you know that today's love in today's culture is based on how I feel? That is ebbing towards an erotic kind of love. And I'm gonna bring it back in for a minute. Do you know that there are a lot of people who determine church location or church participation based on how that church makes them feel? Okay, I'll move on. Agape. It's the very nature of God. Obviously, the Bible tells us God is love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1,000, millions of sermons have been preached on this subject, and it's the dilemma of the one who's speaking to try and get us off center a little bit and disrupt your world. I want to disrupt your world a little bit. I want to move you off normal. What's normal for you? Whether it's in your marriage or the relationship that you have with your children or the relationship that you have with coworkers, relationship with your boss, or maybe brothers and sisters out there, or people within the body of Christ in some form, maybe it's somebody from another church, whatever it is, I want to push you off normal for a minute. Because in some cases, we have settled for a normal that's paralyzing our effectiveness in people's lives. That's got to be the change that starts to happen as the Lord has opportunity. One of the biggest keys of understanding this agape love is to realize that it can be known for the action that it prompts within us. Agape love does the abnormal. It really does. And I told you that there's a litmus test in the Bible. And Jesus just smacks us right between the eyes with some of these subjects. And he says to us, he says, you know what? You can love those who love you. Even the heathen does that. But what would you do if somebody slapped you on one side of the face? You just check out at Walmart. Okay? You got your groceries. You're in a hurry. You got to get back. The kids are waiting. Somebody comes up and goes, whack! I know what happens with Dan Berger. First thing that happens is the old man's hand starts coming out of the grave. And I reach down and help him up. Because he's got a moment that he's got to take care of. I know that none of you know what I'm talking about. But there's this thing that comes from within. Right? And all of a sudden, in a sanctified form, I'm going to go, oh, thank you so much. Could you? I'm sure there's a reason that you slapped me. So since there's a reason, I have another cheek. I always love human understanding and human wisdom. You know how many times I've heard, yeah, Jesus told us, offer him the other side, but he didn't say what you do after that. Let them slap the second side, and then you clean their clock, baby. You just take them out. I'm not thinking that that's quite what he meant. So people today, we're accustomed to thinking of love in terms of feelings. Everything seems to be motivated by that. We have the gravest of perversion that's happening in relationships, marriage situations, and it's all based on a term called love. Love, love, love is the word that has been used in the 60s, and it continues to flow through the love generation, right? And that's all you need to justify the worst of sin is to use that term today in our society, is love. We love and we care, and that's all you have to do is involve it. The problem is, in many cases, it is that erotic kind of love, and it never seems to go beyond that place of perversion. As much as I want to preach on that subject, I can't. Right now. Agape love is love because of what it does or what it is, not because of how it feels. Just some quick examples of that would be, what was the father going, what was he going through? When the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We know what Jesus was doing in Gethsemane, right? We know the travail and the pain. Okay, in Gethsemane, you were about to experience and see at the foot of the cross, we were seeing man's greatest hate and God's greatest love simultaneously. That's what was happening. And that's what blinded Peter, is he couldn't even see the Lord because his love was so bright that it causes us sometimes in our sin to even close our eyes to it. So there it was, the love of God that shows up in that place. Let me ask you this question. Did Jesus feel good about his love situation? He was in agony, wasn't he? And all of his feelings, and all of his passions were saying, Father, if it be possible, can this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. My next question is, what do you think is going on in the heart of the Father? Have you ever thought about that? That his only begotten, never sinning son was going to be brutally beaten. Do you think God was up there going, oh, I was waiting for this day? No. No. You know, I do love in Mel Gibson's The Passion. Do you remember the scene at the crucifixion when Jesus died? There's this scene that draws up into heaven. And all of a sudden there's a tear that drops. And as soon as that tear hit the earth, earthquakes. I don't know. I know this dramatized, but it had to be. Let me bring it to a little more of a flesh experience so that you understand that agape love can happen within our own lives. And I'll begin by saying, let me just offer you a scene of a mom who's up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a sick child. Why is she doing it?
Well, somebody's got to do it. And he wouldn't go.
There's something that drives that mama's heart. And I suggest to you that it's the threshold of agape that makes her motivated. Did it feel good? Didn't feel good, did it? There are some times that your body just screamed in opposition to what you were doing, right? Do you get what I mean? That there's a transition that happens? And I guess what I'm trying to describe to you is what needs to happen in all of us. Not only a mom towards her babies, but brothers and sisters. And then that can be easy. That can be easy. But there's a greater place that God has invited us to be part of His spectacular nature. And it's to love those who are unlovable, to love those who are enemies, to those who have abused and used and despitefully used us, to those who stand in opposition of everything that we are and everything that we do. Every one of us at some point in our lives have someone in our lives that will test this level of love. And some of you right now are actually thinking about them. Because you know where God is inviting you to. All right? I'm closing up my notes that I have barely looked at, by the way. Because conclusion is this. We've got to change. I described to you that the church in society of old was in the center. The enemy has worked really hard to push us to the perimeter of society, right? And I told you last week that the world is not going to come to us. We are being called to them. And there is only one way that we will ever influence them, and that is with agape love flowing through us. It is the only thing that the enemy cannot counterfeit. Did you hear what I said? The enemy cannot counterfeit agape love. He can't do it. It is a level of love that has the heart and the spirit of a sovereign God. And it is often found in the moment of the heat of the battle of our own lives. Yeah? So I'm telling you, folks, if you will listen to me, that God, the world is no longer going to come to the church in the greater sense. And so now God is going to send us all to them. Are you ready? Are you ready? because God wants to start to wash us and cleanse us. I am telling you that I believe that what's saturated in the church is we have been paralyzed at a place of a phileo love, and in the worst case scenario, in that erotic kind of love has crept its way into the church as well. So I'm praying, God, please. James, why don't you come? The worship team doesn't need to come. I'm just going to have James come. And we're going to just end with a prayer here as we end with this last course. But listen to me, all of you. Focus here for a second, all right? Some of you, your hearts are right where I'm talking about, and you have individuals and people in your life right now that you've hit a wall. You cannot find the love for these people. In some cases, it's because you have been so deeply hurt. You have been wounded. So, and please, I'm not trying to minimize your pain. Don't misunderstand. I am not minimizing your pain. I am maximizing this amazing God that we serve. And so, there's some of you, you can feel it. You can feel it, and you're saying to yourself, I can't. I cannot love that person. You don't know what they've done. You don't know. And I'm saying, if you were the only reason that they would ever get to Christ, would it be worth it? Would it be worth it? And I'm not saying you need to preach to them. I'm not saying you need to drag them to church. I'm saying you need to let God flow through your life and let this spectacular experience happen inside of you. It's real. And it was demonstrated how powerful it can be. I mean, you've heard all the illustrations that it wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It was his love for us. I mean, that was the God that could speak things into existence. You think some nails are going to hold him on the cross? No way. So now he's saying to Peter, do you want to live in that level of experience with the Holy Spirit? Peter says, I don't even understand what you're talking about. You know, Lord. You know that we're friends. You know that I blew it, but yes, I want to be friends with you. The Lord's saying, do you want to be part of my kingdom in a big way? How many of you know Peter's story? Guess what? Peter was crucified upside down with an agape love that flowed from his soul. Remember Stephen, when they were throwing rocks at him, heaven opens up and the Spirit of God comes over and he echoes the heart of Christ and he says, Father, please do not hold this against their account because I don't. Where does that come from? So I'll go back to the point. You have people in your lives that you're struggling loving.